Man, who's ready for the Word of God? I'm about to bring it to you this morning because the Lord brought it to me this week. This week, this message today that I'm going to be sharing with you is a collection of everything that the Lord's been hitting me with. I had the opportunity to spend time with many different amazing men of God, even men outside of this body who poured into my life and given me a word from heaven for you guys this morning. So let's go ahead and throw up that title slide. Today's sermon is titled Total War, Integrous Soldiers. Who's soldiers in the house of God this morning? Who would consider you to be a part of the fight in the kingdom of God today? If that's you, say, it's me. As soldiers of God, we're called to be integrous. Has anybody heard that word before? How about the word integrity? Have you heard the word integrity? Somebody say integrity. So if you are integrous, you are known as one who walks in integrity. Amen. How important is it as sons and daughters of the living God that we show that integrity each and every day in every aspect of our life? In every aspect. During worship, I was actually thinking about Ecclesiastes 3, and I want to read this over you. The heading of this is a time for everything. Somebody say everything.
Everything.
For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under the sun. So what should that mean for us before we go through this list here? That we should expect anything and everything, right? Especially for those who walk in the kingdom of God. In verse 2, it says, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, and this last part is a time for war, and a time for peace. Saints, I want to make it very clear that now is the time of war. I felt the Spirit speaking to me that now is our time for war. And what will come during this war is much victory for this church, amen? And what is to come ahead after this war is a time of peace. But the Lord is allowing this body to be uncomfortable for a reason. Has anybody experienced discomfort in this season? Maybe a little bit of trial, maybe a little bit of tribulation, maybe a little bit of growth? I'll tell you today, it's good because we are in a time of war. We're in a time of total war. And in this total war, we're called to live with integrity. Amen? Amen. So let's get straight into the word this morning. Go to Philippians 1, verse 27. Church, I want to remind you this morning that you are a sign of the enemy's destruction. In Philippians 1, verse 27, it says, only let your matter of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Come on, we stand shoulder to shoulder, right? We stand side by side, no man left alone. There's a reason why I titled today's message Integrous Soldiers, not just the Integrous Soldier. Because one integrous soldier cannot win the fight, but many soldiers who live in integrity can win the fight. Who today is going to sign up to be a soldier like that? Who today is going to sign up and be a man who says, today I put my foot down and say, I will only live in integrity before my God and for his men. If that's you, say, that's me.
That's me.
Let's continue. It says in verse 28, and do not, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. Let's back it up. Let's read it again. Only let your matter be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you and am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction. You know, Christians spend far too much time worried about what the enemy might be able to do to them, whenever we should be spending more time wondering how afraid the enemy is and what we're going to do to him. There's two different mindsets here today. We either walk out into the world and we think something's going to get us, or we went out and going to get something. Whenever Jesus says the harvest field is ripe and white for the harvest, he meant it. But until we get out and we recognize that we are a sign of the enemy's destruction, rather than this world's signs is a sign that the enemy is doing his work out in the world, is when we're actually going to start doing something for the Lord. So I tell you today, all those words being said, that you need to be confident in who the Lord's called you to be today. Amen? When you walk in the confidence of the Lord, things actually begin to change. Whenever you walk in the confidence of the world, in the world of the Lord, the world begins to change. Whenever you walk in the confidence of the Lord, everything changes. We're talking about everything this morning. Somebody say everything.
Everything.
This is the confidence that we shall carry in this house this morning. Amen. Yeah. That when sons of God roll up to the scene, the enemy is tucking his tail. Come on, the enemy is tucking his tail whenever you walk out into the world. Could you imagine what would happen if God's church would take a hold of such faith this morning? Listen, I don't have to imagine it because it's taking place right here, right now. It's taking place right here, right now. And today, what I'm going to encourage you with is that it has to continue to be more consistent. Your consistency, your integrity, the way that you walk about your life, your faithfulness towards the mission is everything in seeing this mission being, seeing the mission have success. Amen. Who wants to see success in the land that God's given us?
Yeah.
Who wants to see success in your own life?
Yeah.
Then we're going to be called today into a faithfulness, into a discipline, into an integrity that the Holy Spirit has challenged this church with. Amen? Somebody say integrity.
Integrity.
We do not belong to those who shrink back, amen, according to Hebrews 10.
Yeah.
But instead, we press forward and we have faith. And when we press forward and have faith, what begins to happen? Things begin to change. This morning, I want to open up a topic to you that I believe will yield for us the fruit that Adonai wishes to see in this precious life granted to us. I've spent the beginning of this message reminding you that you are an evident sign of victory being carried out amongst this ministry. I've reminded you that you are a real threat to the enemy and to its strongholds of darkness. Now, this morning, I want to remind you that in order for us to see total victory, we must go to total war with the unseen areas of our life that aim in us integrity this morning. Who wants integrity in this community? Who wants to be shoulder to shoulder next to each other, accountable to the Lord's will and saying, yes, I don't have to do this alone. My brother stands next to me and we're on the same mission this morning. Like I said before, this title is Integrous Soldiers. Listen, I heard someone the other day point out that David's greatest victory, Goliath, was written by Samuel, the prophet. But David's greatest failures, like Bathsheba, were written by David himself in Psalm 32. So what you can see, and the point of this today, is that great kings spend more time exposing their failures than they do propping up their victories. That's a man of integrity. We spend far too much time, saints, talking about and boasting and all the great things, whenever those who are closest to the Lord actually write whole books of the Bible about being brokenhearted towards him. I tell you today, part of the reason we are not getting that joy that we're trying to cry up inside of ourselves today is because we have not yet been broken. We have not yet rendered our hearts. We have not yet had a Psalm 32 moment. Let's go ahead and read Psalms 32. It says, blessed is the one whose transgressions is forgiven. It reminds me of Luke 7. This has been on my mind a lot this week. You love much. Why? Because you've been forgiven much. Many of you walk into this room and you're still dealing with the same sins that God wants to forgive today. And guess what? Your Psalm 32 moment's around the corner. But our self-righteousness blinds us. This is a part of the mission and the journey of integrity. You can't walk in integrity if you're just lying about how you actually are. What integrity looks like is to be honest with where you're at and stand. Can we be men and women today whose words actually mean something? Well, the only way that that will mean anything is if it's truth coming out of your mouth, not just half-truths or even half-lies. Pure truth is what God requires. So we see that David here, he's being honest. Somebody say honest. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as in by the heat of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin to you, Lord, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess. Somebody say, I will confess.
I will confess
my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Come on, if we're thinking back all the way to this very sin that he's committed with Bathsheba, would you consider that a small sin or a big one? In our judgment, is it a big one or is it a small one? It's a big one, right? Something brutal, something wicked, ugly happened in that moment. It wasn't just a slight failure, it was a large failure. I want to encourage you and remind you that there's no sin too big that God cannot forgive, that he cannot heal, that he cannot redeem and free you from today. So do not live in a mentality, if you have a lifelong struggle, for instance, that God can't heal it today. When we get more into the details of our heart and recognize more and more how much we are in need of God, we're so much closer to living that life of integrity. We're so much closer. Man, guys, do you realize how many people just walk around living a lie? Do you recognize how many people walk around not really being honest with themselves, not honest with the person in front of them? This humility displayed here in Psalms 32 is the foundation towards being an integrous soldier. Saints, do you think King David ran swiftly to the throne in his time of transgression? Or was he like Adam and Eve, who runs to the quickest vegetation, scrambling to cover the naked state? It's the first. He ran to the throne of God. David was unashamed to become weak before his God. His origins was God making an example of him, that God could use his life for the embetterment of others. If our aim today is to want to see other people grow, we have to fulfill 1 Timothy that talks about living your life on display, showing your progress so that other people can grow from it. Who's ever grown from seeing other people's progress and like, man, he was there, but now he's here. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Isn't that a pretty amazing thing?
Yeah.
Who's ever been on a diet or maybe on some sort of fitness thing and you have that temptation to want to make the calories look a little better on the chart for the day? Anybody ever done that before? Or add a little more weight on that rep that you're going to log for yourself. Or if you're on a run, yeah, I ran the mile, but really you ran half the mile and walked the other half. Who's ever done that before?
I have.
Yeah. I have too. Saints, that's not integrity, right? That's not integrity. And we do it in the slightest of ways. And as a culture for yourself, you become so used to doing things where you didn't really do it all the way, but you say you did, right? That's the opposite of integrity. That's sinful, and it has to be removed from our life today. Look at 2 Samuel verse 5. 2 Samuel 5 verse 10. It says, "And David became greater and greater for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him." What was the cool, amazing thing about David? It was that God was with him, right? He uses the insignificant things of the world to show his power through, amen? So you see in 2 Samuel 5, verse 10, that David became greater and greater, not because of David, but because of the Lord who was with him. We got to recognize today, guys, that there's nothing great about us outside of the Lord. But because he is with us, there's something great happening within us. 2 Chronicles verse 17 points out this heart in David. And this is a core piece of the message. 1 Chronicles 17 verse 16. "Then David went in and sat before the Lord and said, 'Whom am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And this was a small thing in your eyes, O God. You have also spoken to your servant's house for a great while to come, and have shown me future generations, O Lord God. And what more can David say to you for honoring your servant? For you know your servant. For your servant's sake, O Lord, and according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness in making known all these great things. There is none like you, O Lord, and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Can you see in this moment that King David is expressing a gratitude towards his God for choosing such a lowly man like him? This is a pattern all throughout Scripture. Me and Jose were talking about it the other day in the book of Jeremiah. Whenever God calls his prophets, most of the time they have no faith that they can do what the God's called them to do, right? See in the book of Jeremiah. See all the way back to Moses. I mention these things a lot in my sermons because this is how I feel most of the time. The Lord's called me to something great. But I want to have a heart of in response of David. Rather than wasting my time complaining, I want to spend my time rejoicing that we get to serve a God like this, right? That despite whether we think we can do something or not, he's able to strengthen us. You know what? I've seen this happen so many times in many different men's lives, but one in particular is Elder Morgan. This man is like an encyclopedia when it comes to messages that we've preached, the word of God, the wisdom, and the strength. But when he walked into this team, all he used to talk about is feeling inadequate, which is silly because he's the most adequate man ever.
That's true.
You know, I have these thoughts too. These thoughts steer us away from the narrow way that God has for us. These thoughts push us away in being the men of integrity that we're called to be. Why? Because when our minds begin to wander and we begin to think ourselves out of the faith that we've become and attested to in our walk with the Lord, that tries to break the integrity that God's given us. This type of attitude, knowing our state without the power of Yahweh, is a catalyst to unshakable integrity of heart and creates a chain reaction of brotherhood being built for day of battle. Amen?
Amen.
Do you want to win the unseen battles, church?
Yeah.
Do you wish to see your brothers win his unseen battles?
Yeah.
Then we have to be open and honest and full of integrity this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, this is kind of what we're going to be talking about today in our message. Before you ever win in public, you have to conquer what's waging war inside of you. Your habits, your thoughts, your disciplines, and desires must align with the holy word of God and be carried out with the consistency in Christ. Remember, this battle, guys, cannot be fought alone. But we link arms today, shoulder to shoulder, and let the total war begin. Do you see that God's going to war in your life in every area? Your thoughts, your disciplines, your desires. Who's been tested in those areas lately? Who's been in a season now, whether you're newly married, new children, just whatever it is. There's a lot of new things going on, and God's requiring something new out of you. A greater faith, a greater discipline, a greater expectation for yourself and for his people. Amen? Does anybody relate to that today? Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 4. It says, as for you, if you walk before me faithfully with integrity. Somebody say integrity.
Integrity.
Integrity of heart and uprightness as David your father did. And do all I command you and observe my decrees and laws. I will establish your royal throne forever over Israel. As I promised David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. Wow, isn't that great? You see here in 1 Kings 9 that there are two requirements to walk with an integrity of heart and uprightness. You want to see success? You want to take hold of the ground and the land that God's given us today? We have to walk in integrity of heart, and we have to walk in uprightness today. David left a legacy of a life for many generations to demonstrate And in 1 Kings 9, you see that Solomon is instructed with some specific orders to live with integrity of heart and be upright like his father. Men of God, would you say that it is easy to walk with integrity?
No.
Let me ask you again. Is it easy to walk in integrity?
No.
So what about with an integrity so pure that one can mistake in you as Jesus Christ himself? Is that easy?
No.
Come on, be honest, be bold. Is that easy?
No.
No, it's not easy, right? Are there many temptations and obstacles in life? Are there many tests to your integrity?
Yes, sir.
I encourage you this morning, saints, that this road was meant for you, though.
Yeah, come on.
I want to encourage you with Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 13 says this, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few." So before we dive into this one, we can be encouraged that if your life is difficult, it's okay. Rejoice. You're on the right path today. I want to break down the Greek for you. I don't have a slide. But that word for wide and easy, the road that leads to destruction, that word for wide, G4116, means a broad, spacious, open place. It can allude to comfort and accommodating without restraint. So think about a brand new highway or a toll road with wide open highways. It's pretty smooth and it's ready to ride and go on, right? It's the easy way. The word for easy is spacious, roomy, wide, open. Used to describe a path that is easy to travel and without obstacles. Now the narrow way, the Greek word for that has a meaning straight or compressed. There's a root word in there that means to groan. It implies difficulty or it's tight. It feels like the walls are closing in on you at times. The narrow, hard way, the word for hard, is difficult. It presses to afflict, to trouble, to compress. And it describes a path filled with obstacles, trials, and spiritual resistance. So when we think about all of this, when I asked you, is walking in integrity easy? No, but it wasn't meant to be easy. God has a perfect obstacle course for you today to walk on, for you to be strengthened and be the man and woman that this world needs. So whenever we see our life as a life full of obstacles, we rejoice because we know and remind ourselves that we are on that narrow way. Check out Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the road and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. Guys, when your feet is hurting a little bit on the journey, on this narrow road, I want to remind you that God will give you rest for your souls.
Yeah.
Like your soul, not the soles of your feet. Whose feet hurt a little bit from the journey? I know mine do. There's a prescribed way for mankind and God. And God has a path for the man who desires to walk in the uprightness of his heart. Do not get off the beaten path, brothers, where the good way is. Walk in it today. The good path is full of obstacles. It's narrow and it requires training. But our good Father will not let our foot slip if we continue in it. Proverbs 3 encourages us in verse 21. It says, my son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. How about Psalm 37, verse 23? It says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. We can probably spend a little more time delighting in his way and a little less time complaining in his way. Amen? Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Do know today that God holds you in his hand, and he wants to help you walk in this way today. This isn't all on us. It's quite the opposite. It's all on him. But we get to lean into his arms today and understand that he wants to show us how to walk in this way as integrous soldiers. Those who are committed to the good way, those who are serious about repentance as David was, those who know that they're in need of God and their brothers will see victory in the day of battle. Amen? Amen. I want to talk to you about some examples here of men with great integrity. What I have for you is seven men who I saw who are men of integrity. Number one, Joseph was a man of integrity. Amen? He was tempted and experienced false accusation in Genesis 39, 6 through 20. The test that Potiphar's wife would try to seduce him. But what was Joseph's response? How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He flees temptation, but is falsely accused in his imprisonment. I tell you today, whenever you stand in holiness, even if you are blameless in the situation, there are going to be accusers at your door. There are going to be many men and women that try to take hold of your life and bend your arm and get you to break your integrity. But my encouragement to you today is be like Joseph. Refuse and run and be the men and women that God's called you to be. Can someone say, that's integrity?
That's integrity.
What about Daniel? Daniel was faithful even under the threat of his life.
Yep.
The test, he was ordered not to pray to anyone except for the king for 30 days, according to Daniel 6, 4 through 10. But his response was to continue to pray to God openly, knowing it could lead to death in the lion's den. Come on, somebody say, that's integrity.
That's integrity.
Whenever somebody's trying to press death at your door for the things that you believe and have conviction in, will you stand like Daniel today, even if it means you being tossed into a den of lions? Everybody's like, that seems kind of intense. But today, we are going to stand like Daniel did. Amen?
Amen.
What about David? He had an opportunity for revenge. The test was, he has the chance to kill King Saul, who is hunting him, according to 1 Samuel 24 and 26. But his response was to spare Saul's life twice, saying, I will not stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. Could you see how David was a man of integrity in this moment? What about Nehemiah? Nehemiah refused bribes and corruption and continued his work on the wall. The test was the enemies tried to lure him into sin or distraction, according to Nehemiah 6, 10 through 13. But his response was refusing to hide in the temple or stop the work, recognizing their schemes. Come on, somebody say, that's integrity.
That's integrity.
How about Jesus himself? He was tempted in the wilderness. His test was that Satan tempts him with provision, power, and pride, according to Matthew 4, 1 through 11. But his response was use scripture to resist every temptation. And the crescendo of his life was what he did for us on the cross. Somebody say, that's integrity.
That's integrity.
Saints, this morning I'm showing you quick examples of many upright men. Those who took the unseen victories just as seriously as the wins that they could be seen by men. It was faithful steps every single day. This is what an integrous soldier does. Those who proved their faith in God towards their actions. But it leads to a point this morning. Would you consider yourself a man or woman of integrity, or do you have some room to grow? Husbands, do you live as though your word is your bond? In other words, can your word be trusted, and can you be counted on in every moment? Wives, do you live with the same love and devotion towards your husband and kids that you display in public in the privacy of your home? You see, it is not hard to dress things up or even sweep things under the rug. But I assure you that this will not render for you total victory. How important is accountability, saints? How important is your integrity? And what things have you set up today to make sure that you are living in integrity? Can you trust yourself? No. I can't trust myself. I don't know about you. Can you trust yourself?
No.
No, absolutely not. Let's look at Psalm 101. Psalm 101, 2 through 3 says, I will be careful to lead a blameless life. Yeah. Who's ever tasted of that before? Who's ever walked in blamelessness? Isn't that the best feeling in the world? The best feeling in the world that I've ever experienced outside of God's presence is living with that tangible, blameless life where it's, I don't have to confess something to my wife. I don't have to feel ashamed before my kids or my wife or my boss or my brothers. I ain't got nothing I'm hiding. Isn't that amazing? You know, you can live in that every moment of the day. You know what you have to do in order to live in that every single day? It takes a lot of confession and a lot of repentance, and it doesn't ever stop. You're going to collect some stuff along the way that you're going to have to confess. You're going to have to actually humble yourself, go to the Lord, allow him to reveal things to your heart, and take action if you want to live in that blameless life. I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? I will conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. Come on, wives. Who wants to greet their husbands whenever they get home and say, man, today was really amazing, and mean it? Like, to recognize, oh man, I was actually fulfilling that Proverbs 31 mandate. I was fruitful with my hands. I did things with a tender heart. I set up an atmosphere of the presence of God for my children. And because of that, we're thriving today. I will conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. Come, man, we could spend 20 minutes just talking about that, right? We live in a life right now where our eye gates are on more of an attack than ever before, right? It was many years ago, but I think I preached a word and I mentioned the fact of we read something like there's like 50,000 opportunities for some sort of advertisement to come into your eye gates every single day. Not just commercials, but logos on hats, anything, right? Decals on trucks. There's 50,000 opportunities for you to think about anything other than the will of God in your life. And really, in this society, the Western society we live in, it's what? Money, sex, and power is kind of the three big ones, right? So when we're talking about, I will not look with approval on anything that is vile, we have to search our own hearts today and recognize, have I approved of things in my life that my God would not approve of? And you ask the Lord to show you, and you commit to walking in that narrow way with a life of blamelessness. I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. I hate what faithless people do. I will not have part in it. Who's ever been delivered from faithfulness in their life where it's like, man, you held on to this thought or you had this lie for a while? And when you get free from it, you live in this new attitude. It's like when you see that in your brother, you're like, hey, man, you got to let that go right now. I spent years in that. I actually hate that stuff because I know what it did to me. And I hate to see it inside of you. That's the type of attitude an integrous soldier lives in. Guys, you hear in this text a resolute attitude pertaining to holding fast to blamelessness in life and in the Lord. You can see one who is drawn to anger at the idea of deeds of faithfulness or faithlessness. We as a community have to adhere to the same zeal towards our personal battles and look to guard and assist our brothers in their personal battles. Saints, can you begin to recall some of the convictions Christ has placed in your heart whenever you became his? Do you carry that same zeal today? Do you carry that same conviction today where you went guns a-blazing out? Oh man, revelation from heaven. The Lord's given me all these beautiful words. Well, that was then, brother. Looks like you drifted off of that conviction after a few years. Who needs to reestablish conviction in their life? Who needs to return to that place where you hate what faithless people do? You hate anything vile that comes before you. You are committed to conducting the affairs of your household with a blameless heart. You are committed to be careful to lead a blameless life. We need leaders that lead in blamelessness. Amen? Yes. We need more leaders to be in a place where they don't have to fake it in any area of their life, but they can actually be real, honest, raw. Those who will be counted faithful are those who will be standing in the end. We cannot say with our mouths one thing and live another thing out anymore. It's time to live with conviction, discipline, and integrity. Somebody say integrity.
Integrity.
Second Timothy 2, verse 1 says, "You then, my children, be strengthened by the strength and grace that is Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men." Somebody say faithful men. "Who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlists him." Listen, soldiers of the Lord, your life should be looking very busy right now. It should be looking a lot like a life that is so caught up in the will of the Lord that you have no time left for these civilian pursuits. Your phone, videos on your phone, time, whatever you're goofing off, right? Who's experienced that through maturity in the Lord, you get way less time for all that stuff, right? And when then you return to that stuff, it doesn't really itch that itch the way that it used to. Because we're called to be righteously occupied. Somebody say integrous soldiers. It's time to take the stand today. It's time to take the stand today. Who's ready to take the stand today? Listen, in the book of Nehemiah, you can see that every man stood in his hand, took his stand, and every man fought with conviction until the work was complete. They were restorers of the breach. Isaiah 58 verse 12 says, "And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairers of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in." We stand in the gap for our brothers when we see lack of integrity and remind them of the standard that God has prescribed for them. Amen? We stand with commitment to live a life of holiness no matter what. What temptation or obstacle awaits us, we will see victory. We stand in our unwavering devotion to King Jesus and allow his supremacy to master us and to rule us in our lives until we see him again for eternity. Our aim is to be a spotless Lamb of God, to be found with undefiled garments at the end of our days whenever we see our Lord Jesus Christ, who wants to be dressed in white in the end. Nehemiah 4 verse 14, it says, "And I look and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." Who's going to stand up today and fight for your brother? Who's going to fight for their sons? Who's going to fight for their daughters? Who's going to fight for their homes? Saints, if you're going to fight today, you have to fight with integrity. We can't go win a mission today and utterly fail tomorrow. God is calling you today to live in a perpetual victory, and that only comes if you take the stand today. The stand in what? The stand that says, I will commit my life to a blameless life. I will commit myself to hating what is vile and what is faithless. And I take my stand today, and I'm not living in the dark anymore. I'm a child of the light. Charles Finney said this, "If the church is not an army of warriors, it's not the church at all. We are called to a spiritual battle, not to sit in comfortable pews." Whenever I asked you this morning if you've experienced discomfort, I was excited to hear your response, "Yeah, praise the Lord, or else we would have been sitting on the floor for the next few weeks." Yeah, turn the AC off, sit on the floor, or go outside. Somebody say, integrous soldiers. Next part of the sermon, we're going to look at this. Men of integrity are surrounded with men of integrity. Amen?
Amen?
I mentioned David. What about David and Jonathan? Loyalty in the face of betrayal. Listen, the test was they could have killed Saul, but they chose mercy in 1 Samuel 24 and 26. His co-partner was Jonathan, Saul's son, who loved David as his own soul, according to 1 Samuel 18, and warned him of danger, strengthening his hands in God, in 1 Samuel 23, verse 16. Come on, brothers. Who loves their brother that warns them when they're being dumb? When they're doing something stupid or something they would not be proud of in that moment. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I love my brothers because I can be dumb at times. You know, sheep, they can be a little dumb at times. Bad boy. We can just be a bunch of bad boys. It was cringe. It's okay, Jocelyn likes cringe. But Jonathan, right? Who has a Jonathan in their life? Anybody have just a good old brother that's ready to go, bro, what you doing? Because they had a loyalty about them. A loyalty to what? To God. That's where a foundation of brotherhood's found. Our loyalty is to God first and foremost. What about Joseph? We talked about Joseph. He ran. But it wasn't just Joseph. He had a man like Benjamin. The test was Joseph was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife in Genesis 39. And Benjamin, while Joseph's major testing was endured alone in Egypt, his later reunion with Benjamin in Genesis 43 and 45 showed him strengthening his brother and showing godly compassion for the family. Don't you love it whenever you have a Benjamin in your life? Whenever you can have a brother that comes and strengthens you after your greatest battles out there in Egypt. Don't you love brothers that have a genuine concern? This is what Paul was describing in Timothy. He has a genuine concern for the welfare of the people. Whenever you have brothers in arms like this, integrous soldiers who genuinely care about you, you will see the victory. This is the men that you surround yourself so shoulder to shoulder with. Amen? How about Daniel and his three friends? Faith under fire. The test was Daniel was commanded not to pray in Daniel 6 and earlier faced Babylon's pressures. He was not alone. But he had Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, a.k.a. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's so funny that I could say those better than the other ones. They stood with Daniel in refusing to defile themselves and later face the furnace together in Daniel 3. Who loves a bunch of brothers that can just get in a hot furnace together? That they can have the furies of the furnace come upon them and just laugh because the fourth man shows up in the fire with them. This is what integrous soldiers look like. How about Paul and his ministry? Integrity in the gospel. The test was there was persecutions, imprisonments, false accusations at Paul's door almost every single day. But he had men like Barnabas, Silas, Timothy, and Luke encouraging him, traveled with him, and suffered alongside of him until the end of his days. That's the type of brothers I want. Is that the type of brothers you want?
Yeah.
Do you want to have brothers that stand with you in your trial?
Yeah.
Who stand with you in persecution? Stand with you that when you are doing something for the sake of righteousness and you are receiving tribulation from it, that they're not afraid of your chains and to be in chains alongside of you. I'm condensing a lot of these things for the sake of time. I'm known for preaching for 1 hour. If this is Pastor Mike's message, he breaks six scriptures between all these. But I'm trying to drive one point home to you this morning. I'm trying to, guys, do you understand how important it is to be integrous soldiers today? Yeah. What about Jesus and his inner circle? The test. There was temptation in the wilderness in Matthew 4. And eventually there was a cross. And Peter, James, and John, though they stumbled, stood as ambassadors of Christ until they would see their Savior again face to face. That's good, brothers. Somebody say that is integrity. Listen, my final point for you today is this. Be a shield of faith for your brothers. Ephesians 6, verse 16 says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Somebody say faith.
Faith.
With which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. We protect our brothers from the enemy's ploys. We stand in holy faith and live with our word as our bond. I need my brothers and my brother needs me. Amen.
Yeah.
Stand in faith with your brothers this week. Commit to winning the unseen battles before ever showing up to war. And when the day of war comes, we will stand as one undefiled shield that pushes back darkness and takes ground for our God. That's a new level of unity. Amen? Let there be found integrity in every single one of you today. Let it be found in our community. That we are marked by the integrity that wins the war. It is time to go to war with a fickle faith and half-hearted commitments. Amen?
Amen.
It's time to go, let go of double-mindedness and join right into the fight with our brothers. No more time on the sidelines. Let your yes be yes and let faithfulness have its work in you. And you will see righteousness flood like a river throughout your whole life and throughout all of your brothers and sisters' lives. Amen?
Amen?
Check out this quote from Evan Roberts. It says, you are not simply standing for yourself. You stand for the lost, the broken, and the hopeless. Stand as a warrior in the strength of God, for your revival will only come when his people rise to battle. It's time to rise. It's time to stand today. Amen? If you're committed to being a man or woman of integrity, go ahead and stand with me. Nehemiah 4, verse 14, it says, and I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers. Somebody say, fight for your brothers. Your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Fight. 1 Kings 9, verse 4, it says, as for you, if you walk before me faithfully with integrity of heart and uprightness as David your father did, and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever. As I promised David, your father, when I said, you shall never fail to have successors on the throne of Israel. Saints, who wants to see this battle succeeded in our life?
Yeah.
It's going to require that integrity of heart and uprightness. Psalm 41, verse 12 is what I want to leave you with today. Says, but you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. Whose aim in life is to be set in his presence forever? It's a fixed thing in your life. Then we have to run after integrity today. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for today. Lord, I pray that you fill my brothers and sisters, Lord God, with strength and courage, Lord God, to win the battle today, Lord. We are in total war, Lord God. Lord, in Ecclesiastes 3, you said, Lord God, that there's a time for war and there's a time for peace, Lord God. And we say today we're rising up for battle, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we're going to march forward in faith, Lord God. Lord, and we're going to march forward each and every day, Lord God, starting in the secret places where no one's looking, Lord God, and then on to the front lines, Lord God, where we see the enemy tucking tail today. Lord God, we choose and we say, Lord God, that we are committed to living a life of integrity, Lord. Lord God, I'm asking that this very characteristic mark your church, Lord God. So we give thanks to you. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.